The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. I woke up this morning and I thought, I don't know what's going to happen today, but it's going to be amazing. Because I am in the promised land. I am in the motherland. I woke up this morning, I put on my shirt and my jeans and my shoes. I thought, hang on, I'm not in Australia. I'm in the motherland. I need a tie. And so I put a tie on just out of respect for my foundations, my roots. And so please be praying for us in Australia. Because while you guys are having your bonfire night, we got fire restrictions in Australia at the moment because we're experiencing like 28 to 33 degree weather. And so while you guys do your bonfire night, it's going to be daylight savings, and so it'll be dark around 8 o'clock, 8:30, and it'll be that warm that we're going to have to take our kids to the beach and the pool, and so they won't get to experience the bonfire. But can you please be praying for our kids that we put the right amount of sun cream on them, that we keep them safe during this hard season that we experience in Australia. It is tough. Please be praying for us. You guys are blessed here. Absolutely blessed. And so pray for us. This bonfire night, just remember, we'll be over there doing beach night. And so someone's got to do it. And to be honest with you, thank God for the English for sending us to Australia. We are super appreciative, and they are. They're super generous, Mel. Super generous people to send your prisoners to paradise. And so for that, we thank you. And you guys are amazing. Super generous. You're all looking at me like, is he for real, or did we really lose out in that deal? I don't know. But either way, thank you for it. It is a huge honor to be here. It is I had a great time yesterday speaking into the hearts of leaders and helping navigate culture and leadership and church and church growth and all of that sort of stuff. And it's been an honor for me to be here with Pastors Ed and Michelle and just get alongside them and see what they're a part of and what you guys are building here up in Preston. I think it is Preston, right? Preston, yeah. I don't know whether to go Preston or Lancashire or how all that works together. But anyway, but I just think it's brilliant to see the house of God. And it doesn't matter where I go or where you travel to. It's just amazing to come into a room of people that are all different ages, all different cultures, and all of that sort of stuff, all different educations, and to see them worship the Lord Jesus. There is no place in the world like the house of God. I think the house of God is the most amazing thing in the world. I come in this morning. You guys don't go around the roundabouts here. You actually go over them, which is pretty cool. And so I think I put that to actually go around, but anyway, come in this morning and there's people there with big blue foam hands, big smiles on their face, and I sat there and I thought, this is the house of God. There will be people driving past going, why are they so happy about being in church? And the truth is, they haven't experienced church, they haven't experienced the house of God, but they'll keep driving past. One day they're going to go, I'm just going to go find out why that dude's so happy, and they'll come in here and go, ah, I get it now. And so please don't stop doing what you do. Keep smiling, keep being the people of God, keep coming to the house of God, and we'll continue to influence, I believe, our world through everything that God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray and get started this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Father, for each and every person in this room. Father, I pray that you continue today to empower us by your Spirit. Father, I pray that your word today will go forth and not only rest on the hearts of your people, but Father, bring challenge where challenge is needed, conviction where conviction is needed. Father, above all things, that you bring comfort where comfort is needed, or healing where healing is needed. Father, we thank you for the truth and the power that is in your word. And Father, I pray today that it will go forth and will not return unto you void, but achieve the plans and purposes for which it is sent. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I have 3 children. And a 13-year-old boy, an 11-year-old boy, and a 5-year-old girl. And my 5-year-old girl actually looks like Ed and Michelle's 7-year-old girl. And so she came up yesterday and smiled at the table, and I almost launched out and just gave her a huge kiss and hug. And I thought that might be a little bit weird, so I had to hold myself back. But I love kids. I love children. The other day I went to my 5-year-old girl, Lily, her name is, went to her sports carnival, athletics carnival. It was the first one that she's ever done. And so I'm thinking, man, this could be the child. And I love my boys, but we don't have that many gold medals in the Burns household. Let's just put it that way. And so I'm thinking this is the one. Lily, she's like, you know, the third one along now. She's been around the boys. She's learnt to run. I'm going to have a winner here. This is going to be Australian victory, Australian gold for sure. And so I went to the athletics carnival and they all lined up along the line. And the teacher come up and she said to two of the boys, hey, where's your hats? And they said, in our bags. And she said, well, go get your hats on. And so they went, and when they come back and put their hats on, the teacher said, you can't run without your hats. And they were like, oh, okay. In Australia, they've got to have hats because of the sun and everything like that. And so they line them up, and they blow the whistle, and, well, they start running. And my girl is out in front by a good meter. And she is coming up to the finish line, and I'm thinking, you know, already Olympics are flashing before me. I'm thinking I'm going to live my life through this girl. And she is coming up to the finish line, and her hat blows off her head. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what's she going to do? Go, win at all costs, get the gold medal, pull their hair, rip their eyes out, whatever you've got to do, get across the finish line first. And she comes, and when her hat blows off, she turns around. She runs back and gets a hat. She puts it on her head, and she continues to run over the finish line. Now, I know what you're all thinking. What did she come? She came dead last. Yeah, she came dead last. But here's the thing, I sat there as a father and I watched them, and they got on the other side of the finish line. They're all 5-year-old and they are jumping up and down, they are laughing, they're high-fiving. They had no idea who won the race, they had no idea who came second, third, they had no idea who came last. They were celebrating the fact that they all got to run the race, they all got to run their first race together, and they all crossed the finish line with their hats still on their heads. That's what was most important to them. They did exactly what the teacher told them to do. Now, if it was me, Lily, forget about the other people. Be number one. But they don't know anything about comparisons at this age. They don't know that, oh, if I get number one, then I'm number one compared to number two, compared to number three. No. They got across the line and they just celebrated the fact that they all got to run the race together. And it so blessed me. Because I sat there and I thought, that's what the church is about. That's what the church, we live in a world that wants to try and put its values upon us, that want to tell us that you've got to be number one, that to be more present is to be number one. And Paul tells us in Corinthians, in Corinthians 12, he says, no, we're all the body of Christ. You both got seen parts, like my face, for example. You can see that. My apologies on that. But you got that for the next 40 minutes. And so you can see my face, but you can't see my intestines. But if my intestines aren't there, you won't see my face. And so the unseen is just as important as the seen. And what Paul says is that we've got to honor every part of the body of Christ, whether seen or unseen, it makes no difference. It's all part of the same body. And so I want to talk to you on the subject this morning, honor, the key to the miraculous. The key to the miraculous. I believe that as we live our lives honoring one another, as we live our lives honoring the Lord, His house, His word, that we'll begin to see the miraculous open up. And now when I say the miraculous, I mean the supernatural. You begin to see things the way God sees them because you begin to value the things that God values. And when you value what God values, you begin to see what God sees. And so this word honor, I believe, is one of the keys to us living a supernatural life, the divine life that God has called us to. Go with me to Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says this, Jesus left there and went into his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this just the carpenter? Isn't this just Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And notice this, they took offense at him. They took offense. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives and his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, often when we read this passage of scripture, we think it's a lack of faith that Jesus attributes to a lack of miracles. But it's actually not a lack of faith, it's a lack of honor. It's a lack of honor, first and foremost, that Jesus attributes to the lack of miracles here. Now, anytime we read a narrative, we're always looking for what is the conflict in the text. And the conflict here is simply this, that Jesus comes and there's two groups of people. There's those that do honor him and there's those that don't honor him. Those that don't honor him receive nothing from him. Isn't this just the carpenter? Isn't this just Mary's son? And they bring Jesus down to their level and below and believe that they can't receive anything from this man. And they don't as a result. There's another group of people, the sick people, that come out and they offer Jesus their sickness. That's all they've got to give him. All I've got is sickness. And he takes it and they walk away healed. They walk away with so much more than they actually brought to Jesus. But they brought honor. They brought value. They brought respect. They brought esteem. They brought that to Jesus and honored him. And they walked away with so much more than what they came with. You see, I believe that when it comes to the house of God, when it comes to the things of God, that the same thing is true. When we honor what God honors, we will always see the supernatural unlocked in our lives. In this situation, Jesus says, even a prophet is without honor in his hometown. In other words, they're familiar. They're familiar with him. Because they're familiar with him, they think, well, he's got nothing more to contribute than any other person. And as a result, they receive nothing from it. And so I want to go through three things with you this morning. Three things about this word honor that if we'll put it into our life, I believe that we'll see results like we've never seen before. Number one this morning. Point number one this morning. Honor precedes faith. Honor precedes faith. A lot of people say they believe in God, but do they honor him? Do they value him? Do they honor what he... A big difference between believing in God and honoring God, or valuing God, or respecting and esteeming him, which is all the same word for honor. And you go out into the world today, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Oh, so do you go to church? Oh, no. Do you pray? No. Do you read the Bible? No. Well, how can you believe in God but not honor him? And so they do this mental ascent of, yeah, I believe, but their life doesn't line up with honoring him. They don't value what God values. The Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 4, one of my favorite passages of scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, the courts of the Lord with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Church, can I ask you the question? What did you enter the gates with this morning? What did you come through those doors with this morning? Man, when we went over the roundabout like a speed hump this morning, I saw those faces and I'm thinking, man, these people are so grateful to be around the house of God. The big smile on their face, big foam hands going, go that way. And big one was a hand, one was a finger. And they're telling me which way to go. And I thought, man, these young people are out on the road and we're ushering people into the house of God with thanksgiving in their heart. I was so blessed. I was so blessed just to come along the main road and see someone there, big smile on their face, and I'm thinking, that's church right there. That's church right there. Many people will drive straight past, but they'll never forget there is a happy group of people on that corner smiling every Sunday morning. Sooner or later, they'll come and visit and go, what are they on? I want some of that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. When you come into church with thanksgiving, when you come in with God, what are you going to bring to me today? What's Pastor Ed going to preach on today? When you begin to live like that and come in and sit on the edge of your seat like I'm ready to receive the word of God, you will walk out with that and so much more. If you sit in your chair like, oh, Pastor Ed better bless me today, you're going to receive nothing because it's all about what you get. Church is not about what you get. Church is about what you contribute. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. And when you enter with thanksgiving, you will always leave more blessed than when you walked in. If you walk in with attitude, you'll walk out angry. Guaranteed. Whatever you walk in with, you'll walk out with and even more. And so as we enter his gates with thanksgiving, I believe we begin to unlock the miraculous in the house of God for us as the people of God. I was telling the guys the other night, this is my favorite story ever. I come into college in 2003 and in 2004 I got this phone call from a maintenance guy and we'd just opened up our new convention center and all the walls kind of locked down into classrooms during the day and then we pull the walls back and they're massive walls, they're like 150 kilos and so they're hard to move and all of that sort of stuff and I get this phone call one Thursday morning Lee, can you come and get a team together to move the walls in the convention center? I said, yeah, no problem. When do you need it done by? And he said, an hour. Sisterhood's about to start. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And he said, no, it needs to be done in an hour. I said, it's not going to happen. I said, I've got work to do. I cannot pull a team together in an hour. These things take an hour and a half to move. And he said, please, I need your help. I said, how long have you known about this? He said, for about a month. And I said, yeah, exactly. And I hung up. Attitude. And this student walks in and he goes, Lee, what's the problem? And I said, man, they want me to move the walls in the next hour, pull a team together to move the walls. And he goes, I'll look after it. And I said, okay, it's all yours. And so he goes away. I didn't know whether he was going to do it or whether he wasn't. I didn't know. And so I'm sitting there. About an hour later, I get a phone call from the maintenance guy. I'm going to be honest with you. Confessions now of a pastor. I let the phone ring out. I'm like, there is no way I'm going to pick that up. And then he rang back a second time. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit conviction. I picked the phone up and I said, what do you want? And he goes, I just want to thank you for sending that team over. We got all the walls done and everything's ready for sisterhood. And I'm like, hey, no problem at all. I'm here to serve. That's what I do. That's anytime. And hung up the phone. Oh, a couple of moments later, Chris comes into my office and he goes, hey, we got the walls done. I said, bro, thanks so much for doing that. He said, do you reckon I could pull together a team? Just in case, because this is probably going to happen over and over again. I said, you're right. Let's pull together a team that are ready to go. And so Chris goes away and he comes back. He goes, okay, I've got four guys that want to be on the walls team. And he said, I'm going to appoint this guy as the leader. And I said, yeah. I said, I probably wouldn't put this guy in as a leader. He's a little English guy from Swindon. No offense to the English, But I said, I probably wouldn't put him in. And Chris goes, trust me on this one. I said, okay, no problem at all. And so he goes away. And about a week later, I had a student come to me and he goes, can I change my weekend ministry? In college, we do weekend ministry. You serve an area of church. He goes, can I change my weekend ministry from the choir to the walls team? And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, can I change from the choir to the walls team? I said, absolutely, that's done right here and now. And he goes, thank you. And over the next 3 weeks, I had six students come to me. And they go, can we change our weekend ministry from what they were doing, which were all great jobs, and they said, to the walls team. So I'm thinking, what's going on the walls team? Are they drinking? What's happening here? So I stayed back one Sunday night and I went over to a group that were part of the walls team and I said, hey, guys, let's start to move the walls. They said, no, we wait till everyone kind of leaves the auditorium. And I said, oh, no problem at all. And I went over to another group and everyone was almost out of the auditorium and I said, let's start. And they said, no, we've got to pray together first. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We're Christians, that's what we do, right? And so we get around in a group and Jonathan, who's the leader from the little English guy, he begins to pray and he prays like this, Father, we thank you for the honor it is to move walls in your sanctuary. Father, we thank you that you have called us together as a group to move these walls, and as a result of moving these walls, tomorrow when college comes in, we will be literally changing nations as a result of what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm standing there like, did he just take walls and turn it into changing nations? Wow. That's amazing. And so we start changing the walls, moving the walls, and one side gets done. There's a group sitting over here. I went over. I said, look, it's almost midnight, Sunday night. Go home. They said, no, I've got to wait till the end. And I said, why? What happens at the end? They said, hang around and watch. And I'm like, well, okay, guys, move the walls. Come on, get these things moving. And so we get these walls locked down, and at the end of it, they all come together. And they go, Jonathan goes, Matthias, why don't you kick us off? And Matthias is this little first-year fiery Swede, and he begins to pray, and he's like, oh, Jesus. And he steps into the middle of the group and he begins to speak over the life of every person in the group. He's going, God's called you to greatness. God's called you to great things. And then he goes to the next one. Well, I'm sitting there as the dean of students. I want to throw the students out of the way just to get in line of this prophecy, right? But I'm patient. I'm patient. It's a fruit that I have. And so I'm patient. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hurry the heck up. Come on. Get to number one, right? And he comes to me and he looks at me and then he moves to the next person. I'm like, come on. And he finishes everyone off and he comes back to me and he goes, "Sir, we want to thank you for the honor it is to do what we do." He said, "I can't believe that you entrust us with this task. And as a result, the nations that we get to change in doing what we do." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable." Church, guess where I was the next Sunday night? I joined the Walls team. The Walls team, unbelievable. He's able to take a task of moving walls and turn it into, this is not about the task. This is not about what we do. This is about who we're becoming. And he would get there and he would pray and remind them of why we do what we do. Then at the end of it, he would get in the circle, or someone would get in the circle, or someone would bring a scripture verse or some that would remind us. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. We are the people of God. This is the house of God. We honor the people. We honor his house. And as a result, can I say this? Every one of those people in that group today are pastors in churches across the world. It all started back then with, this is not about a task. This is about who we're becoming. This is about who we are. And as a result, they began to step into it. Well, after a while, people began to kind of just come to the Walls team because they knew they prayed. They knew they spoke the word of God. They knew they'd prophesy and all of that. People were hanging back after church. And I'd go up and I'd go, "Hey, why are you guys still here?" "Oh, we're going to go, the Walls team, I need prayer." I was like, "Huh. That's cool." So I'd hang around and watch, and if they had sickness, I'd step in the middle and all the Walls team would put their hands on and believe God and speak into their life. They saw so many miracles in that 2 years that Jonathan ran that group. For his third year, I tried to get Jonathan off the team. I'm like, "Hey, don't worry about it. For your third year, you don't have to run the Walls team." He's like, "I want to run it." And I'm like, "Oh man, who is this guy?" And I said, "No, I'm actually going to take you out, and You need to replace yourself with someone else." He goes, "Oh, any of them can run that team." I'm like, wow, what an amazing discipler. He valued people. He valued the house of God. He honored the Lord. And he honored the word of God. And as a result, that group just grew amazingly over the next 2 years. You see, when we honor the Lord, we begin to see things that we've never seen before. People standing out there on the road, it's not about what you do, it's about who you're becoming. You don't know who's driving past going, "Every Sunday, I see that and they're so happy. They're going to have a miserable moment probably in life. They drive past, I don't know what, I've been driving long enough. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to jump over this speed hump and go straight into church. And sooner or later, they're going to come to know the Lord." You see, I believe that when we honor the Lord, that we begin to see things the way he sees them. We begin to see his house the way he sees them. Just like Jonathan, he began to see his house. He began to build his team to see his house the way the Lord sees it, the people the way the Lord sees it. Number two this morning, not only does honor precede faith, but number two, honor returns abundantly. Honor returns abundantly. Can I say this to you, church? Never come into church, "Oh, it's just so-and-so preaching today. Oh, it's just so-and-so leading worship today. I'm just going to church today." Notice wherever you put the word "just," it always limits what comes after it. And it's just the carpenter's son. It's just Mary's son. It's just, isn't this just? And as a result, they receive nothing from it. If we keep pulling everything down that God values, we'll never begin to draw from it the way that God does. Honor always returns abundantly. The Bible says in Mark 4, verse 24, Jesus speaking to the other people, he says this when it comes to listening. He says, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more." Notice that. With whatever you use, it'll be measured to you and even more. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, it'll be measured back to you and even more." Because honor always returns abundantly. Honor always returns abundantly. A few years ago, I went to do this this small business course. And before I started the course, a young girl called me. And she said, "Mr. Burns, what are you believing for tomorrow to get from this course?" And I kind of, I'm hoping to get a bit more of a business sense of things and all of that. And she said, "What are your number one values in life?" And I'm like, wow, that is a great question. I said, well, first and foremost, it'd be Jesus Christ. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm religious as well. And I said, well, are you a Christian? She said, no, but I'm a spiritual person. I said, oh, you should try Christianity. It's even better. And she was like, oh, okay, I'll think about that. And she goes, so we went through, you know, the values that we had. And she said, so what are you expecting from our training staff tomorrow? I said, to be honest with you, I don't really know what to expect, but I'm going to come into the room. And whoever trains, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ask quality questions. I'm going to draw the most out of that trainer because I'm paying for this course. And she's like, she says to me, oh, Mr. Burns, you are way above the line. And I'm like, what line? And she says to me, the line of life. And I'm like, what line? I didn't even know there was a line in life, church. I'm just going to be honest with you. But she told me that day, there's a line in life. And I began to work out that line in life looks like what you bring into the day, you're going to take back from the day. And you can either sit there and allow the day to dictate what your life's going to look like, or you can enter the day and begin to dictate what life's going to look like. You can either be a victim of your day, or you can be a victor of your day. And it depends on how you come into it. There's a great man of God, he's from Bradford back in the day, Smith Wigglesworth, and he said this. He said, I never wake up of a morning and ask Wigglesworth how he's feeling. I always wake up of a morning and I tell Wigglesworth how he's going to feel. Ha, that's way above the line. Way above the line of life right there. That is coming into the day and not waiting for it to dictate circumstances, situation, but being on the front foot going, all right, God, what are you going to teach me today? When we enter the day like that, you'll receive so much more from the day than what you bring into it. Honor always returns abundantly. Go with me to 2 Chronicles this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Is everyone good?
Yeah.
You're all good? 2 Chronicles chapter 9 says this. Verse 1 and 2. When the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with hard questions. Sounds like a first year doctrine class. Arriving with great caravan, with camels and carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for him to explain. And the Bible says in verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 9 here, that after she hung around Solomon and gleaned from him, it says she gave the king 120 talents of gold. Large quantities of spices, precious stones. There'd never been so many spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Notice this, 120 talents of gold. Now that is 4.5 tons of gold. 4.5 tons of gold. 4.5, yeah, I know, I forgot what nation I was in. Yeah, that's nothing for you guys. 4.5 tons of gold. Girls, imagine wearing that on your ring finger. Man, that would break your finger. That is a lot of gold. She gave, I don't know about what the spices are, but the gold, she gave him 4.5 tons of gold. Notice this in verse 12. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for. He gave her more than she had brought to him. Then she left and took her back to her country. Notice that. Here she honors Solomon. And she walks away with more than what she gave. Honor always returns abundantly. When you honor the house of the Lord, you'll draw more from it than what you contribute. When you honor the Lord and your relationship with Him, you can't wait to wake up of a morning or get home at night to spend time with Him. When you honor the people of God, you can't wait to get around them just to encourage and draw from, contribute into them. I believe that honor always returns abundantly. Number three, not only does honor precede faith, not only does honor return abundantly, but number three today, honor unlocks the miraculous. Honor unlocks the miraculous. When we value what God values, we'll begin to see things that we've never seen before. The walls team, it could have been just a task, but it wasn't. It wasn't about the task, it was about who they'll be becoming as the people of God. It was about the honor that they brought to the task. And as a result, they saw so many miracles over the next 2 years. Honor unlocks the miraculous. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruit of all your increase. Then shall your barns be full, your vats to overflowing, or your vats overflowing with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Notice that. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, I know you're all sitting there going, oh man, he's talking about money now. Can I say this, that money is often closer to our hearts than God. And money is not a master. Money should not be your master. It's a servant, great servant. And when we learn to use money the way that the Lord wants us to use money, we'll begin to see increase like we've never seen before. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Can I say this? Where did you get your wealth from? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof anyway. Right? So it's not your wealth that you own. It's actually his wealth on loan. And he gives it to you so that you'll honor him with that. And the Bible says that when we honor the Lord with our wealth, the first fruit of all our increase, notice it, then shall your barns be full. Your barns to full, your vats. Now, did you get it? Vats to overflowing. Turn to the person next to you and say, did he just say barns? I'll get you guys up. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruit of all, then shall your barns be full. I know you're sitting there going, Lee, how many barns is that? Church, how many are you believing him for? How many can you believe him for? I actually think he doesn't want to limit us. So shall your 10 barns be full. And it would be like, oh, wow, that's a lot of barns. No. 10 is nothing compared to the Lord for what he can do. So shall your barns be full. Here in Preston, over there in Blackpool, wherever else we've got barns. Let's believe for those barns to be full. Our vats to overflowing. For your life, I don't know what the barn represents. It may be a business or something like that. Whatever it is, if you will honor the Lord with that, you begin to see him open up in ways that you've never seen before. Begin to believe him for so much more. Because the promise is that when we honor the Lord with our wealth, so shall our barns be full, our vats overflowing with new wine. It's a promise from God. I remember years ago, we did our first ever Heart for the House offering in 1999. Sheree and I just got saved and we didn't have any money anyway. And so I remember driving home from church one day and I said to Sheree, I really feel like the Lord has given me a amount to give this weekend, in 6 months for the Heart for the House offering. And she goes, that's funny because I felt like the Lord told me exactly the same, an amount today as well. And so I said, because I'm the finance guy in the house, I said, so how many, what did the Lord tell you? Well, it was twice as much as he told me. How can God tell two different people two different things? And so I figured because we are one and she is the more generous, I'm going to go with that. And so we saved for the next 6 months. We got to the Heart for the House offering. We were so excited because we had to save to get this amount that Sheree felt like we had to give. And so we gave and we had $20 left for the week. $20 left for the week. We were newly married and we said, let's just go for it. Because then 10 years from now, we can look back and we can honestly say, everything we have is from the Lord. 16 years later now, we look back and we go, wow, God is amazing. God is so good to us. And so we gave everything we had bar $20, which bought us a couple of loaves of bread and petrol for the week. But can I say this? We got our marriage off on the right foot. We honored the Lord. We honored his house. And as a result, we have seen super abundance come back like we would never believe, like we could not even plan for. It is unbelievable that when we honor the Lord with our wealth, how much he continues to fill our barns and our vats to overflowing. And I feel like today, church, that the Lord is saying, if you will honor what he honors, if you will value what he values, you'll begin to see things happen in this house that you never thought possible. When you begin to honor your relationship with the Lord, when you begin to honor his house, his word, and his people, you begin to see the miraculous happen over and over and over again. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Let's not be a people that, oh, it's just the house of God. It's just church. No. It's his house. It's his house. When we come into his house, when we enter with thanksgiving, we begin to see things in ways that we've never seen them before. We begin to see his people in ways that we've never seen them before. We begin to experience him in ways that we've never experienced him before. When we enter with thanksgiving, we begin to see God do things that we never thought possible in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, for all that you're doing in and through each and every person, Father, I pray that as we continue to honor you, Lord, as we continue to bring our first fruits into the house week in, week out, as we remain consistent with that, that Father, you continue to fill our barns full, our vats to overflowing. Father, I pray for congregation here, the congregation over in Blackpool, that Father, you continue to fill to overflowing in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray for the people that have not yet come through the doors, that are still driving past, thinking, what are those people doing smiling so much on a Sunday? Father, I pray that they'll come in and come to know you as a result. Father, we thank you for the honor it is to be called your people, the honor it is to be called your church. Father, we know that the word declares that you will build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in and through each and every life in this room. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. I want to pray for some people before I hand over this morning, if that's cool. And two groups of people I'd like to pray for. The first group of people would be those that you're really believing for a miracle in your life right now. It can be in regard to maybe a doctor's report. It can be maybe in regard to a financial report or a relationship situation or whatever it might be. And you're really believing for a miracle. I'm going to believe God this morning that he'll bring that miracle your way, where healing is needed, that he'll bring healing through your body, where maybe business situation, that he'll bring divine wisdom into your situation. I'm going to pray for you this morning. If that's you, I'm going to ask everyone's eyes to be closed and heads bowed in this place. And that's you saying, Lee, pray for me this morning, believing for a miracle in my life. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand in this place, and just so I know who I'm praying for. Father, you see each and every hand raised in this place this morning. Father, I pray that where healing is needed in this place, Lord, as your word declares, we are partakers of your divine nature. I pray for that divine nature to run through each and every body in this room. Father, bring it about every cell, every bone, every ligament for which it's divinely created. Father, we thank you that in Jesus' name, Jesus Christ is our healer. And Father, I pray for your divine healing to pass through every person believing for healing right now. Father, where divine wisdom is needed in relationships or businesses or whatever it may be, Father, I pray that as your people push into you, draw into you, that Father, you'll begin to drop divine wisdom, Lord, into their minds and into their hearts. Father, they'll begin to see strategy, that they'll begin to see things like they've never seen them before. Father, I pray for divine wisdom in people's lives right here, right now. Father, where provision is needed. Father, we know that the word declared so early in Scripture that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided. Father, I pray for that provision to come across people's paths today. Father, however that happens, whatever that looks like, Father, we thank you that you are our provider, that Father, all things are available to us in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'll bring provision across the path, however that looks, in Jesus' mighty name. We declare your goodness, your favor, and your blessing upon each and every person with their hand raised in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. One more group of people I'd like to pray for before I hand back this morning, and that is those that maybe you come into this place, a family member or a friend has brought you into this place today, and maybe you've never heard the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for you to bridge the gap between you and your Heavenly Father. And you've never heard that message, but today you're sitting there and you go, oh man, I want to come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, friend, in a few moments, I'm going to pray a prayer that will connect you with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, connect you with your Heavenly Father. Or maybe you've been in this church for a while, and for whatever reason, situations, circumstances have taken you out of relationship with Jesus, and you're saying today, you know you want to come back. You know he's knocking at the door of your heart, and you're saying, Lee, I want to come back. Friend, immediately he'll come into your life. As long as you call out, Lord, save me, he'll come back immediately. And if that's you, you're in this place, and you're saying, Lee, pray for me this morning. I'll receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for the first time, or come back into relationship with him. Friend, don't walk out the same way you walked in this morning. Walk out knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If that's you, you're in this room, maybe you've walked away from him and you're feeling guilty or shameful. Friend, God is not so much concerned about your past as he is to get you into your future, to get you into your tomorrow, your next week, to align you with the plans and purposes that he has for you. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. We've all made mistakes. We're all in need of Jesus Christ. And if that's you, with everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed in this place, you're saying, Lee, pray for me this morning. Pray that I'll come into relationship with Jesus, or pray that I'll come back into relationship. If that's you, and you're saying, Lee, pray for me, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand in this place and I'll see it. You can put it down immediately, but if that's you, thank you, sir, out the back. Thank you, sir, out the back. Is there anyone else in this room? You're saying, Lee, pray for me today. Thank you. Over here on my right, is there anyone else? You're saying, Lee, pray for me. Friend, don't walk out the same way you walked in. Walk out knowing that you're in relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. If that's you, you're saying, Lee, pray for me. Is there anyone else? I'd love to join these wonderful people. These wonderful people this morning in drawing closer to your Heavenly Father. Is there anyone else? Friend, don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. We're not going to do anything strange or anything weird. We're just going to pray with you and connect you with Jesus Christ this morning. If that's you, you're saying, Lee, pray for me. Does anyone else want to join these wonderful people this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, for those of you that raised your hand in this place, what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me, but pray it with conviction in your heart, not just words that fall to the carpet, but pray knowing this morning that you come into relationship through everything that Jesus Christ has made available for you. And for those of us that are church family, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with everyone as well. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you did on the cross 2,000 years ago. This morning I ask for your forgiveness for my ignorance towards you. I confess that I've not always lived your way. But I ask this morning that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit, that you will guide me through your word into the plans and purposes that you have for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.